139 is a very poetic psalm. I agree that it's somehow a very poetic expression and explanation how a child could become a child, how the child is formed, how the child is made. Kind of questions when, you know, youngsters or little children would start asking you, how did I come to this world? And it's very difficult to answer sometimes when they were little. And for me, a 50-year-old man, this passage has been very difficult for me for more than 40 years to understand. You see, as you come closely and closer to me, you would see that my right eye is actually blind. You would see that. It's just camouflaged by the eyeglasses that I'm wearing. And I was born with that situation because my mom has hypertension when she was pregnant with me. And without any proper medical advice, she just took an anti-hypertension pills. And according to the doctor, that affected me when I was in her womb. They only discovered that when I was 5 years old. And we went to the doctor, and the doctor said, sorry, we can't do anything anymore for that. And as far as I can remember, my mom told me that I came to her because she was crying, she was upset. I said to her, Mom, it's okay. I'll be able to deal with it. Don't worry. So I grew up as a child being bullied for being different. Because you see, in school, I don't wear glasses, so everybody see my eye. They saw it. And so they start teasing you. They start thinking, you know, you're strange, you're a bit different. So those guys who experience being bullied in school, I have almost like 90% grade on that. I was bullied all throughout my life when I was in elementary, when I was in primary, almost up to my high school. And I grew up thinking, I will make you all kneel down before me one day. That's my goal at the time. So I studied hard. I graduated. I finished as the youngest high school, I think one of the youngest high school in the Philippines. At the age of 14 and a half, they have to request my birth certificate so that I could graduate because they can't believe that I should be 16 and yet I'm 14 and a half. And yet I'm graduating. But you see, my dad took me to the school to join us at a reception time at 5 years old. And I was better than anybody. So they let me go through the first year, second year, up to I finished the whole thing. I worked so hard. Because in my thinking, if this is the kind of power I could use, then I'll use my brain. But you see, it's wrong, right? Because it all started by having negative outlook or perspective about your life. And Philippines at the time is not a friendly place to be when you have physical disability. You'll always be counted as an off, as someone who is something strange, as someone like that. And for the next 40 years of my life, I have this feeling inside me that I'm different, I must be negative, I must be something, and I have to work hard with my brain so that I could prove to them my worth, which is a bad thing. Good thing on the outside, but bad thing inside. Because I do feel that I actually pushed myself too hard in order to prove my worth. So I finished this year, if I'm going to finish my doctorate this time, that will be my 8th degree. I had 3 bachelor's degree, 2 masters, and I think I only graduated with 1 master that I'm not the summa cum laude. I worked so hard. I memorized my notebooks. I can even memorize where the periods and the commas and all that in my notebooks when I was studying. I think that has been a gift of that such difficulty that pushed me so hard. But if I'm going to reflect now on Psalms 139, I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have done that. Because my worth is not on my degrees. My worth is not on my accolades. My worth is not actually found in anything that I have at the moment. It is actually founded on the value that God gave life itself. That He made me wonderfully, fearfully inside my mom's womb, regardless of how I came out later. Because that's my value. You see, young people these days, you cannot actually blame them for following TikTok, for following whatever they can see from the social media, because that would make them think, oh, yeah, I should have that kind of lipstick to make me feel, you know, look good. And obviously, the people who are producing that kind of cosmetics are making money out of our own insecurities. You know, you have to use this kind of thing so that you'd look nice. But if you found your value, that you're worth more than you can imagine, in the Bible, what God said, You were created. You were created wonderfully and fearfully. Now, allow me to give you some bits and pieces that I learned from Hebrew. I studied Hebrew in my years of studying the Bible. Wonderfully and fearfully are two words that are really, really important for you to remember. Wonderfully means you were created with such awe-inspiring power that you were not a mistake. If your parents thought of you that you're a mistake, then they're wrong. Because actually God said that when you're in your mother's womb, you are not a mistake. You were created according to what God really wants you to be. That's hard for me to understand and accept for many years. Because I'm thinking, yeah, right. I was really created wonderfully and fearfully. Really? Why is it that guy have 3 girlfriends now and I don't have any one that I can count on my finger? Why do I have to really do best in order to be given attention? You know, when I was sitting on the plane, I'm thinking, Lord, is the person sitting next to me would be my wife? That's how bad I was before. Because all I'm thinking was, you know, this is the thing that I should have, that others have. And the value that I actually lived by at the time is not founded in the Bible. You see, if you step back and remember the words in Psalm 139, you will actually be filled with so much excitement because you were created by God in such a way that you, human being, cannot explain it. Do I have to read it again? No. It says there that when you were created in the darkest, He saw you, your unformed body. Of course, all of us would like to have a, you know, battle body and all, you know, muscle man. But live with the reality that the world is not perfect, so are our bodies not perfect. That's why we want to go to heaven, because everything there will be perfect. But what we have right now is created and provided by God. I heard someone prayed about arthritis. That's just on earth. It's just bound on earth. It will not go with you in heaven. So that's fine. The reality sets in is that we don't actually find sometimes really related to the scripture, because by our experience, we have the tendency to navigate with just what we saw on the telly, with what we hear from friends, and with what we actually thought of ourselves. Let me go back to this passage that says here. It says, "You have searched me, Lord, and you know me." That's important. That's important. Because in day and age like this, Facebook and all that, we like to pretend. You know, you always click for selfie. No bad at all if you really do it for a purpose, a good purpose. But if the purpose is to please people that is scrolling your Facebook post, it's too difficult to maintain that. It's really difficult to maintain that. And I wouldn't blame you, because we are being brought to this idea that being liked and clicked liked on our post feels nice. I got 1,000 clicks on my post. Oh dear. How about if somebody doesn't click, maybe it thumbs down? That's difficult, right? But God is here saying, "You have searched me, Lord, and you know me." That's more important. One of the things that really attracted me to God is that He is the best friend you could ever have that will never gossip you anybody, anywhere. You can tell Him anything you like. When my son was diagnosed with autism on the week of my ordination in 2017, oh, I'm telling you, I have a big row with God. I really don't like what He did. I said to Him, "Lord, were you not satisfied to see me physically, that I have a physical defect? Now you allow this to my son? How dare you do that? Are you not satisfied with all the work that I did when I was studying? Usually a student should be studying only for all the time when he was doing a study. But I'm working 26 hours a week from 10 o'clock in the evening to 1 o'clock in the morning just to get by and continue with my studies. Were you not satisfied with that? Then here I am. I'm going to be ordained." And I was ordained. And then 3 days down the road, we were finding ourselves at John Radcliffe Hospital with all the experts telling us, "We're sorry to inform you, your son has autism." I mean, I'm telling you, I was really angry with God. Now, if I'm going to look at this, "You have searched me, Lord, and you know me." And then it says, you are wonderfully and fearfully made. Come on, me and my son. Really? Do you think as a pastor I don't have questions? Oh, if you have questions, I have loads. But that's the reality of life. That's the way it is. Because we have so finite understanding of the world is and what the Lord is doing to our lives that we, God Himself, I'm so pleased and so proud with God that there is no question in my mind that it's going to, oh my God, why did you say that to me? He's not going to be surprised. Because the word of the Lord says, even before you say it, He knows what you're thinking already. And I love that. Because I could say God everything in my mind. And I would say, you'll go down, that's limit now. Stop it. Because even before I say it, He knows it already. He knows it. And you know what God did? Whenever you ask why, He never answered back. Trust me when I say that. Why questions are not answerable by God. He will not answer that. Because why questions always leads to another question. You answer the why, try it with the children. You answer the why, then there will be another why. The same is true with us in our experience with God. That's why God doesn't answer that. The answer, the question that God answers is the what question. Lord, I have this physical defect. What do you want me to do now? Lord, I have this situation. What do you want me to do now? In my younger years, I think I was in my 15, I saw someone playing and I said, oh, I only have one sight. Would I be able to play the piano? I said, yeah, you can. But it's difficult because you have to read this and this. But I learned. What I did was I turned off the lights and I practiced for 3 hours every day every night without the lights playing the piano. So you can turn off the lights. I can play that piano. The what question is what God answers. So His answer is that do the best that you have, what you can, and you do it. Because God knows exactly who we are. I can say that now with all my heart because I have seen that over the past 40 years in my life. Struggling to answer that, but I always find that the what question is what God answers. Lord, what shall I do with my arthritis? Well, adjust to the life, but enjoy the rest of it. Because in heaven, you will be trying to remember arthritis and you will never remember it. The next one is this. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know, Lord, you know it completely. You hem me in and behind and before and behind and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. Meaning, God is never going to be surprised with what I'm doing right now and I can do right now. See, even in serving God, you don't have to say, Lord, I can't do this. God knows that already. You don't have to convince God for it. But the question that you have, the thing that you have to tell God is that, Lord, I have this. Maybe a little, but Lord, please, use this for whatever you can. Some people say, oh, Gerald, I'm too old to serve God. Really? I mean, tell that to Abraham who was told that he's going to have a son at the age of 90. I think you're going to collapse when the angel of the Lord turns to you and says, faith, I am Gabriel. Next year, you and John will have a child. You're going to collapse. But that happened to Abraham. Right? Do you know the funny thing with Abraham and Sarah? Sarah was before named Sarai, and Abraham was named before Abram. Abraham means father of many nations. Sarah means a prophet, a hostess, or a princess. I'll give you the idea. Abraham was walking down the road on the field. He was in his 90s. Then Sarah is calling out, "Father of many nations, let's have supper." The people around the village would say, oh, they're mad. They're now in their 90s and they're still imagining that they're going to have a baby next year. But that was happening before. And then he answered back, Sarai, yeah, you are a princess. How could you be a princess if you didn't even have one son? And yet they're doing that. Because God said so. There's nothing that would actually make God surprised. He knows us. Tell you what, after my visit last time, I'll give you my own reflection. It's not an X factor thing that you have to press the button and say, you don't like that, or an X one. No.